Let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. In these verses, we have the well-known exhortation to believers to put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All right, let's begin this section of Ephesians 6 now with some background notes. How many of you remember this passage of Ephesians 6, the armor passage from your Sunday school days, when it was illustrated by flannel graph lessons or even Sunday school coloring books? How many are with me in that area? Okay. Well, I always remember my Sunday school teachers emphasizing the point that there was no armor for the back in this armor passage. Remember that? Good lesson. As the armor was put up on the flannel graph piece by piece, invariably the teacher would say, and notice there is no armor for the back, so don't run away scared, but stand and fight the good fight. And that's still a good lesson for today. We're involved in spiritual warfare. We need to put on the whole armor of God, and remember, there is no armor for the back. We are not to run away scared and capitulate to the enemy, but we are to stand and resist and fight the good fight. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, where do you think Paul got this illustration or object lesson of putting on the armor? Two possibilities, and probably both are part of the answer. Those of you who have Bibles with marginal notes will notice that there are several quotations from the book of Isaiah in this armor passage. So Paul was certainly thinking of these Old Testament scriptures as he wrote this section of Ephesians. Also, remember Paul's situation when he wrote this epistle. He was under house arrest in Rome and chained to a Roman guard. Most likely the guard change was every 4 hours. So every few hours, Paul would see the Roman guards taking off and putting on their armor. And this recurring procedure certainly would have reminded the Apostle Paul of those Old Testament armor passages from Isaiah and given him the idea of the object lesson that we have here in Ephesians chapter 6. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal points for this section of Ephesians. The doctrinal point here is believers should put on the whole armor of God. Believers should put on the whole armor of God. Look at verse 11 once again. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And also verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. So here we have another exhortation for believers. It's not an option. Believers should put on the whole armor of God. Now we have two subpoints under this doctrinal point. A, the purpose of the armor, and B, the pieces of the armor. So subpoint A, the purpose of the armor, verses 10 through 13 once again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So what is the purpose of the armor? The purpose of the armor is that we will be able to stand and fight in spiritual warfare. We are involved in spiritual warfare. It's not in the physical realm, referred to here as flesh and blood. Spiritual warfare is in the spiritual realm, referred to here as the heavenly places. Satan and his fallen angels and demons, referred to here as principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age and spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. These forces of Satan are using every trick in the book to try and defeat us. Verse 11, once again, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or schemes or tricks of the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says that Satan prowls about seeking someone to devour. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. So this is the purpose of the armor of God, that we will not be tricked and that we will not fall when Satan attacks us, but rather we will be able to stand and fight. The good news here is that if we are believers, Satan can't take away our salvation. And more good news is we never have to be defeated. Notice we're guaranteed strength and power and victory if we put on the whole armor of God. You never have to be defeated in spiritual warfare. The bad news here is that we don't always put on the whole armor of God, do we? We are prone to put on only part of the armor, or sometimes even take some of the pieces of armor off. When this happens, there are chinks or holes in our armor, and Satan attacks and sees where we are vulnerable, and he is able to defeat us in spiritual warfare. So the purpose of the armor then is obvious, isn't it? That we will stand and fight and be victorious in spiritual warfare. Now, just before we move on to subpoint B, let me just mention this. Don't confuse the illustration here with our literal actions in spiritual warfare. In matters of sexual temptation, for example, we are to flee. Flee fornication, 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2:22. Don't stand around and test your willpower. So in terms of the illustration, to flee the flesh would be to stand and fight and resist satanic attack. What about the pieces of the armor? Subpoint B, the pieces of the armor, verses 14 through 17. In verse 14, we have the belt of truth. Now, the belt of the Roman soldier was not used to hold his pants up like we use belts today. You realize that, right? The wide leather belt of the Roman soldier was placed over a short tunic to gird up his loins for action. So the idea here is letting the truth gird us for action. We must not only hold the truth must hold us if we are going to be effective in the good fight. In verse 14, we also have the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the righteousness mentioned here is not our position in Christ, but practical righteousness. As believers, we don't have to put on our righteous position in Christ. That's settled. But we do have to put on practical righteousness. If you cheat on your income tax return, or lie on an application form, a job application form, or sneak through unmanned toll booths, Did I hit a note here? Watch out. You are vulnerable to satanic attack and defeat. You're not putting on the breastplate of righteousness. In verse 15, we have the sandals of the preparation of the gospel. Back in those days, they had military sandals to protect the feet. Well, in spiritual warfare, being ready to preach the gospel is actually a piece of armor. Now, have you experienced this? I know you agree with it because it's in the Bible, but have you experienced how sharing the gospel with your neighbors or the people you work with actually protects you? Not from attack, Satan will always attack, but it protects you from defeat. Try it. It works. Romans 10, verse 15 says, How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. In verse 16, we have the shield of faith. Now, this shield that's mentioned here is not the small circular shield, you know, like the garbage can lids that we used to use as kids. This is the large, full body shield. And the faith here is not our subjective faith, but rather the whole revealed body of truth, the faith. Are you rooted in the faith? The faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. Jude verse 3. Now notice how the shield of faith not only blocks the fiery darts of Satan, it quenches them, it extinguishes them. What are the fiery darts of Satan? Well, let me list a few. Doubt, discouragement, despair, disappointment, distrust, demoralization. These are just some of the darts of Satan. Call them the D-darts. These D-darts and all other darts of Satan are quenched when you are rooted in the faith, the shield of faith. In verse 17, we have the helmet of salvation. Knowing that you're saved for sure and have eternal security is a piece of armor. Or to put it another way, if you have doubts concerning your salvation, doubts concerning your eternal security, Satan will defeat you in spiritual battles. You don't lose your salvation, no, but you will not be very effective in spiritual warfare. You will experience defeat. In verse 17, we also have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember how our Lord Jesus used the Word to defeat Satan in the wilderness temptations? Three times he quoted Scripture. It is written, it is written, it is written. Now, to quote Scripture, you must know Scripture. And that leads us then to our practical application for this section. Let's memorize more Scripture. Let's memorize more Scripture. Now, let me ask you an embarrassing question here this morning. How many of you do have some kind of Scripture memorization program going on in your life right now? The Holy Spirit can't bring Scriptures to your mind to use in spiritual battle unless you know them. And there's probably no better way to come to know Scripture than to memorize it. The Lord, in his temptations in the wilderness, quoted three times from the book of Deuteronomy. Could you do that? You know three scriptures from the book of Deuteronomy that you could quote when needed? You might say, well, yeah, but the Lord, he was God. Listen, the Lord as man must have memorized Scripture. As a boy, he must have memorized Scripture as he grew up there in Nazareth. And by the way, he didn't have his pocket Old Testament to carry around with him all the time. He had to go down to the synagogue at Nazareth where the scrolls were kept to study the Word and come to know and memorize Scripture. Memorization of Scripture is not easy, and it gets harder as you get older. Agreed? So let's get with it, folks, right? Let's memorize more Scripture.